our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing from Psalter 109, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. We mention to you Psalter 109, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the second chapter. He mentioned to you Timothy chapter 2. But before we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, power maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. And in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing in his presence among us this evening. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in this evening hour, for the second time on thy day, thou hast given us the privilege to gather together in thy house to again hear thy word, and to hear thy word proclaimed. And Lord, then as we have gathered together in thy mercy, and it's a token of thy long-suffering patience, because thou hast not taken us away by the cold hand of death, thou hast not called any of us to come to stand before thee and to give an account, that we may all yet be in the land of the living. And Lord, we beg thee then, that as we have come together in thy house in this evening, that thou would also gather with us, that thou would be among us, working mightily, powerfully by thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that as we may be together to hear of that one of that qualified mediator, thy Son. Lord, remember those who have no need. They may confess it with their mouth. They may speak and say that they need a mediator, that there is a mediator, and maybe they can even say his name, but they have no need. They've never been lost. They are not guilty before a holy God. They don't need a lamb. They don't need a mediator. Lord, we ask thee that thou would awaken them. May it be tonight that thou would pass them by and say, live, and that they may become lost, that they may become like that publican crying out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, thou knowest those who have been made alive, who truly sorrow because of their sin, not for the consequences, but because they sin against thee, a holy, just, but also a good doing, merciful and gracious God of heaven and earth. Thou knowest them who have a load of sin and who have learned, who have been taught in the school of grace, that they must pay themselves or another, and that they have come to an end in everything, that they cannot pay themselves, and there is no other creature that can pay for them. And thou knowest those who have a cry in their heart, in their soul, Lord, is there a way yet? Is there a way for such a great sinner to be reconciled unto thee through the way of thy justice being satisfied? Oh, we beg thee tonight that thou would open ears, open eyes, enlighten minds, and give hearts, new hearts, but also give that faith, and give that that faith may be an exercise, that sinners, guilty sinners, unjust sinners, sinners that are unrighteous in self and only have filthy rags, may be given to look, to hear, and to be drawn unto him, that one who is man, a righteous man, who's very God, but also very man and very God in one person. May we ask thee then and beg thee, Lord, that when thy word may be proclaimed, that thou would bless it richly. And thou hast promised, when thou art lifted up, that thou would draw men, that thou would draw sinners unto thyself. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then, that tonight, by thy grace, by thy Spirit, it may be an unforgettable hour, that sinners may truly believe to see that precious Savior, that he may be revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that there may be a little food, that there may be bread for the hungry. Lord, thou art the bread of life, and thou wilt feed thy dear sheep and the little lambs with thyself. Remember those who are thirsty. Thou art that one who has that water of life to quench thirst, to give a little water for the weary, for the burdened ones. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, wilt thou bless thy word? Thy word is profitable for all things, for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for admonishment, but also for comfort. Lord, we beg thee then, come, give thy servant to open his mouth, give him the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that that precious mediator may be proclaimed, and who he is, and that he's that suitable one, that he becomes that necessary one, and that he becomes precious for the glory of thy name. Oh, may it be that many sinners would be bowing before him, worshiping him, longing to serve him with love in their hearts, to follow him, to obey him. Lord, we beg thee then, take away all the obstacles and all the hindrances in listening. Take it all away, Lord, all the distractions, and that we may listen to the word of God, to what he proclaims unto us of his own dear Son, his beloved Son, whom thou hast given into this world to seek and save lost sinners. And Lord, wilt thou then help the sinner on the pulpit, give him the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach and give a blessing to the hearers? Lord, we ask thee that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done, that thy kingdom may increase upon this earth, that more may be gathered in, that thy flock may increase, that more may come to know thee, bow before thee, worship thee, adore thee. Lord, we ask it, thou art so worthy, may we ask it for thy name's sake. As thou hast said, O Israel, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, may we plead for thy name's sake, come, give opening, give a blessing, and may poor and needy sinners be blessed under the preaching of the precious gospel. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would remember also the persecuted church, those who do not have the privilege to gather freely as we have. May we lay them before thee, Lord. Help them, strengthen them, comfort them, uphold them, be near to them. Remember then also our nation. Lord, we have left thee in paradise, but we've also left thee as a nation. Our nation was founded upon Christian principles, but we have cast thee out. We have turned away from thee, and our sin increases day by day also as a nation. Oh, we beg thee, wilt thou bless thy word and give a revival? Give that thy word may be a light upon our pathway, that thy word may speak in the government and all those who make decisions, also all judges. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy. Come with power with thy word and give that we may see what sin is and show us our sins, but give also that wholehearted repentance, that fleeing away, that forsaking sin. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would give, that there may be that hunger and thirst in the hearts of sinners to live righteously, to live according to thy will, to thy honor, to thy glory. We pray, bless thy word richly then throughout Canada, but also bless it throughout the world, wherever thy word may be brought, that there may be food and drink for little lambs, for sheep. And wilt thou gather them in, as thou art that good shepherd, that they may hear thy voice, that it may not only be the external call, but that it may come internally, it may come with power, and that they hear, and that they may have life, and that they long to follow thee. Lord, may we ask it then for thy glory, for thy kingdom, that may we ask it also for our eternal salvation. Lord, may we ask thee and beg thee also that thou would increase the numbers of thy servants throughout the world, also on the mission field, also in Bolivia. Lord, wilt thou call men there also with thy grace to be an ambassador for thee, and that they must come forward, and that thou would gladden us with thy deeds also among them. But may we beg thee also for all thy churches, for thy kingdom here also in North America, also in our denomination. Lord, there's so many vacant congregations. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast said in thy word, beg then the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth labors, and that he would thrust them forth. Lord, may we be gladdened with thy deeds in the coming months, that students may be accepted in thy favor, for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy church. Lord, thou art the King of the church. Look upon us in mercy and give then blessings from above. We pray, we remember the student, help him, care for him, instruct him, and may all of thy servants, may we all remain students at thy feet. May we be like Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be instructed by thee, to instruct the people that thou hast entrusted unto our care. Lord, we pray, remember then all the education, all the efforts to teach our children, whether it is at home or at school, bless it. But we beg thee especially, bless the means of grace that we may use in our homes, at school, and here in thy house. Lord, we pray that thou would give the children, the little boys, little girls, the teenagers, the older ones, adults, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, single ones, older ones, that they may be born again by thy power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we see it, that thou art working among us, that sinners become sinners, that sinners become seekers, and that seekers become finders, and that thy name may be glorified. Lord, we beg thee, look upon us in mercy. We deserve nothing. Thou could righteously pass us by because of all our sins and iniquities. But may we plead, because of thy dear Son, because of him in whom thou art well pleased, because of his righteousness, because of his blood, Lord, look upon us and bless us. And thou hast instructed in thy word that we are to open our mouths wide unto thee, and that thou would fill it. Lord, teach us to pray, that we may be those supplicators at thy throne of grace, and that thou would fill us with that grace, with that free and sovereign grace that only flows from thee through the blood and the merits of thy dear Son. Lord, we ask thee to cast out that evil one, that when thy word is proclaimed, that he likes to give distractions, he likes to plant doubts and questions and cause us to not focus upon thy word. Cast him out, Lord, and that the seed sown tonight, may it land, may it be in well-prepared soil, hearts prepared by thy Spirit, and that there may be a blessing, that there may be a little comfort, a little instruction. Lord, thou knowest each heart. Thou knowest all what we stand in need of. Give life to those who are dead and care for thy dear people. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We deserve nothing because of all our sin, because of all our iniquities. But may we beg thee and ask thee for thy name's sake, for the name of thy dear Son, in whose name we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 198, the first four stanzas, and more if necessary for the collection. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. Psalter 198, the first four stanzas, and the collections for this evening is a church. First for the church and second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, in the last weeks we have heard of our misery and the great need of a deliverer, for sinners to be delivered from that just punishment and to be received into favor with God. God's justice must be satisfied. Who can satisfy the justice of God? Can a creature? No. Have you found out that you yourself, is that your experience, that you cannot satisfy the justice of God? Are you seeking a way to be delivered from that just punishment and to again be received into favor with God? Who can satisfy the justice of God? The Bible is very clear. For sinners to enter into heaven, God's justice must be satisfied. They must be renewed and they must be cleansed from all their sins. They must be made completely righteous. Is there a mediator, congregation? Is there one who can deliver hell-worthy, guilty sinners who have nothing? Is there a way for sinners to be washed, to be cleansed, to be made righteous in the sight of God? Is there a way for a sinner to enter into that uninterrupted communion with God in heaven? Is there a way for sinners who have absolutely nothing but sin to be able to reconcile with God? Is there a way to escape that well just deserved punishment? Is there a way for miserable wretches to be able to enter into heaven and to be forever in that favor of God? Tonight, I may have the privilege and the responsibility to preach of him who said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Who is he called? Who is saying that? That he's the way, the truth, and the life? What do we read in 1 Timothy 2? What's his name? He's the mediator. That only mediator, which we read in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." My friend, did you come tonight with a hunger, with a thirst, with a desire? As we heard last week, with that cry that came out of that man's heart, he saw no other way, no other way to be just. And he cried, "What sort of a mediator and deliverer must we then seek for? What must I seek for?" What type of a mediator? Is that the cry in your heart? Is that the question? Remember, what was the answer in Lord's Day 5 to question 15? What type of a mediator must we seek for, congregation? What was the answer? One who's very man, and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also very God. So in that answer, we hear stated four qualifications of who the mediator must be, of who that only mediator is. And now on the next Lord's Day, we have explained why he must be man, why he must be a righteous man, why he must be God, and why he must be man and God in one person. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, we will consider what we can read in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 6, question and answer 16 and 17 tonight. Lord's Day 6, you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 32 and 33. Question and answer 16 and 17. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which had sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question answer 17. Why must he be in one person, be also very God? The answer, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. So the theme tonight, the only mediator, his necessary qualifications. The theme, the only mediator and his necessary qualifications. There's four qualifications. Two in question and answer 16 and two in question and answer 17. And those will be our 4 points. He must be very man. He must be a righteous man. He must be God, and he must be very man and very God in one person. And as we hear of this mediator, may the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bless it. That we don't only hear it, congregation. It's not only doctrine, not only information, but that it may give life, and that the Holy Spirit may give those who are dead may be made alive, but those who have the grace of God, and that he planted that faith in their heart, that faith may be an exercise, and may they see a little something of that precious mediator. Who is he? What must he be? He must be very man. He doesn't only need to be in the likeness of a man. He doesn't need to appear like a man. He must be very man. Bone of our bone. Flesh of our flesh. He needs to be a real living man with a body and a soul. Why? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature that sinned against him must pay for sin, must make satisfaction for sin. So the mediator must be a real living man with a body and a soul. And now in Romans 5, we hear about the first Adam, who was very man, who was the head of the covenant of works, but he fell, he rebelled, and all his descendants with him. But then we hear of another very real man, the second Adam, in whom there is hope for completely lost, perishing, wicked sinners. And so I'll read 2 verses to you from Romans 5, verse 12 and 15. Listen. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So in the first man, Adam, all became sin. You are sin. You have original sin, and you have your actual sin, born totally depraved, lost under the wrath of God. But now verse 15, but those little words in the Bible are so beautiful, so precious. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We do not read that he appeared as a man. No, we read very clearly, by one man. He is very man, Jesus Christ. God is proclaiming again to us tonight. Congregation, individually, you cannot make satisfaction. And you must make satisfaction. You need to make satisfaction for yourself, or another must make satisfaction for you. And there must be a satisfactory mediator, a satisfactory mediator that accepts God. That's exactly according to his requirements. What is acceptable? What does God require? God requires That mediator that would stand in between him, a holy God, and a wretched and guilty sinner must have the same nature as you and as me. He must be a real living man. He must have the same human nature. He must have a real soul. This is the only way that mediator could be the mediator, to be able to make satisfaction for the debt of his beloved people. And now listen to another text. John 1 verse 40. Listen. And the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No, he didn't just appear like he had flesh. No, God, that second person of the Trinity, he was made flesh. He was a real living man. And that man, that real man, he had to accomplish two things. He had to accomplish two things. He had to actively obey, and he had to passively obey. Two things that no sinner could fulfill at all. And this mediator, who is very man, he had to actively obey. What does it mean? I'll explain. And he had to passively obey to satisfy the justice of God in Jesus Christ. He came and he actively obeyed. What does that mean? What does God require of you and me? He has the right to demand of you and me that we love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with our whole being, actively living every moment of our whole entire life, all dedicated purely for him. But have you learned? It's just sin in everything you do, in your whole being. And now that mediator must come and actively live according to the law of God. He had to come to be in the place of lawbreakers. He had to come and actively obey with his mind, with his heart, with his soul, with his whole being, actively, willingly, lovingly, for the glory of God. Was Jesus Christ a real man? Was he? Can we prove that? Well, we have already for some text. But children, when you read in the Bible about Jesus Christ, what shows us that he was a real man? He was tired. He slept. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He wept. And so by those things, we see that he was a real man. But did he, as a real man, obey the law of God? Did he perfectly obey every jot and tittle, every single little detail, his whole life? How do we know? He did. How do we know? There's a proof. God himself, the Father, looked upon the Son and said something. What did he say? What do we read in Matthew 3, verse 17? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How could he be pleased in his Son? Because he saw him as that one that left the glory, who became very man, and who lived actively every moment of his life, delightfully serving, obeying the law of God. And so the mediator, as a real man, actively obeyed. He met that requirement. But what about passive obedience? What does that mean? What does that mean, children? Is it okay if your mom says, clean your room, and you just passively stand there? Is that obedience? You say, no, that's not obedience. But what's passive obedience? The mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, voluntarily, willingly allowed himself to be that sacrifice. He willingly gave it with his whole heart. He gave himself to be that sacrifice. He was that lamb, as we heard him this morning, who opened on his mouth. He could have called a legion of angels to deliver him, but he passively, willingly, actively, also in his passivity, to obey the will of his Father. He gave his life. He gave his life willingly. No man took it from him, but he gave it willingly, passively, obeying God. And so Jesus Christ, he's very man, and he actively and passively obeyed the will of his Father as a very real man. What's the result, congregation? What's the result? Or you do not want to hear. What's the result? He opened the way as a real man. Yes, there's more qualifications, but he did open the way as a real man for deliverance for hell-worthy sinners to again receive favor with God. Is that your longing in your soul? I just want a little favor of God. I want his loving kindness because it's more than life to me. God the Father, through the mediator, that one who became real man because of his active and passive obedience, can justify sinners. He can deliver them from going down into the pit because of his Son. And congregation, without the mediator, you are lost. It's not enough to hear about him. He must become your personal mediator. And in him, there is deliverance from that well-deserved punishment and a way to be received into favor. 1 Peter 3 verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to what? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. And so, our first thought, that first qualification, is he really man? Yes, he is. He's real man. He came upon this earth. He lived. He sweat, he bled, he died. He was a real man with a real body and a real soul. He met that qualification, congregation. But the question is, do you need him? Do you long for him? Is there hunger for him? Is there thirst for him? But what else must he be? He also must be a righteous man. We said a little something about it already, but we will say more. He must not only be a man, he must be a very righteous man. He must be perfect. He must be absolutely pure. Why? What do we read in verse in Lord's Day 6, verse, or no, in question and answer 16? Because one who is a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Cannot. And we read in Deuteronomy 24, verse 16, the father shall not be put to death for their children, neither shall the children be put to death for their fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And no sinner can satisfy another. So the mediator must be man, but he also must be a righteous man. He must be pure, because a sinner cannot be a mediator for another sinner. I cannot be a mediator for you, congregation. No man. I'm a sinner, and I need a mediator who is perfect and real man myself. The mediator must be free from all sin, and he must also be free from what? Well, there's original sin and actual sins. He also needs to be free from original sin. And you and I are conceived and born in sin. We're not free from original sin. Every single one in the whole world, all over the world, in Canada, United States, Bolivia, Malawi, we're all born in sin. We all have original sin. And Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. So how can a man be born without original sin? Remember Jesus Christ? He was born of the Virgin Mary. His mother was a real human being. How? How can Jesus Christ, Demeter? He must be very righteous without original sin. Well, we read something beautiful in the Word of God, that he was conceived in a very miraculous way, not by any man, but by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Jesus Christ, he had no original sin. He was pure without original sin. But does the Word of God testify that he was also without any actual sins? A few more points about that. Yes, Jesus Christ, that mediator, is very righteous. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 14, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." God's word gives a testimony of his own son that he's without sin. Do you need such a mediator? Do you long to hear, to see a mediator without sin? It's this mediator, Jesus Christ. But there's more testimonies in the Word of God. Also Pilate. Yes, Pilate, who did an unjust sentence upon Jesus Christ. He said it a few times, "I find no fault in him." Yes, that's written in the inspired Word of God to speak to you and me. "I find no fault in him." And have you understood? Have you learned? Do you know that this could never be a testimony of you or of me? That the Lord can only look upon us and say, "I just find everything. It's all sin. No, there's no fault. It's all completely ruined, destroyed." The Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Hebrews 7, verse 26, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the angels." Jesus Christ is real man. He's that mediator, and he's a real righteous man. How does he become precious, congregation? How does he become precious? He becomes precious because we need one to stand exactly in my place. I'm a man, and I need one who's real man. But more, what more? That you are unrighteous, filthy, and that you need one who's righteous. And is there one? Yes, there is one. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a beautiful name in the Bible of his name. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. "The Lord, our righteousness." That name becomes precious to those who have nothing but unrighteousnesses. And listen to what he says in Isaiah 54, verse 17. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me." Unrighteous sinner, are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Do you long to live holy? But in that doing and in the experience, you only see more sin. You become more unrighteous and more unrighteous. Yes, even in your self-righteousnesses, they all become like filthy rags, insufficient to satisfy the infinite justice of God. He says in his word, "My name, the Lord, our righteousness." And he says, "And their righteousness is of me." How can an unrighteous sinner be connected to the righteous one, to him who is our righteousness? By faith, by that precious gift of faith. All those who believe him, like Abraham, he believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. He was righteous by faith, not by works. And all their works come to a dead end, and they die to self, that he rises and he becomes, for an unrighteous, guilty sinner before a holy and just God, as that one who is righteous. Righteous. the mediator. He must be a real man. And Jesus Christ is a real man. And that mediator must be a righteous man. And Jesus Christ is a righteous man. And he has a robe. He has a robe of righteousness to cover those who have nothing to hide. Like Adam, he tried to cover himself with those fig leaves, but he became lost when the Lord called him, "Where art thou?" And the Lord gave him a new robe. And God, he provides not only a mediator, but he also provides in his Son that way of righteousness through him who is righteous. And so the mediator must be those two things. And Jesus Christ is both. But what else? What else must that mediator be? Because can he save sinners as a man? Can he save sinners as a righteous man? No, there's more. And so we go to our third thought. He must be very God. That mediator must not only be a real man, he must be God. Why? Why must Jesus Christ be very God? Why must he be I am that I am? Well, there's several reasons. We'll go through this slowly. First, because the burden of God's wrath against sin was so great, that he needed to be God to uphold him, to sustain the wrath of God, because for only a mere man, even a righteous man, he could not have held it. He could not have taken it away. The mediator Jesus Christ had to be very God to uphold his human nature under the wrath of God. A little example. Especially for the children. There's a bridge. And you need to cross a big ravine. A big ravine. And you need a bridge. And now you need to carry a very heavy load across that bridge to get to the other side. What does that bridge need? That bridge needs exact engineered supports to uphold it. Otherwise it will collapse under the weight. That bridge not only needs to be a bridge, but it needs to be structured. It needs pillars to uphold it. Otherwise, it will collapse. And now, Jesus Christ, who is very man, he will only, and I say this very relevant, he will only perish as a man under the wrath of God. He needs to be very God to uphold him. Think of the great burden that was laid upon him. Yes, laid upon him. He took it upon him. Think of all that debt of all his people, because it will be an innumerable multitude forever around his throne praising him. Think of all the sin of each and every one of those individuals. And sheep, lamb, think of the mountain of your sin. Yes, your sin. All together. All those iniquities, all those sins, all those transgressions in thoughts, words, and deeds, sins of omission, sins of commission, sin, original sin, actual sin, all those sins against all the Ten Commandments against God was all laid on him. What a load of sin. No words can express it. We cannot understand it, even the weight of one sin. And how will a real man, how will a real righteous man be able to uphold himself under that wrath? Jesus Christ, as that mediator, must be real man, but he also must be very God. But why else? Think about the battle. Think about the warfare he came on this earth to do. Think of all the powers of wickedness, of sin, of death, of hell. And he had to fight to conquer those enemies for perishing man who had no power to fight and to conquer all those enemies of grave, death, sin, hell, and Satan. And what a power! these enemies would conquer a real man. But Jesus Christ, he's not only a real man and a righteous man, he's also very God, so that he could conquer. And he has conquered, congregation. He has conquered. And that's why Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us, God's people, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be real man or very God, because of the burden of sin, because of the enemy that he had to conquer. But why else? What type of a payment did it need to be? God is a holy, infinite, holy God, and that payment must be an infinite payment. That payment had to be of infinite value. And now listen to what Jonathan Edwards says. God is infinite. Sin against an infinite God is an infinite abomination and deserves infinite wrath. Do you believe that? Have you felt a little something of that? And then he continues, because we sin against an infinite holy God, and we cannot have a finite solution. We need an infinite mediator. Because that payment needs infinite value. It needs to equal that infinite wrath. And there's only one. There's only one. And that's that mediator, Jesus Christ. He, it was all laid upon him. He conquered death, Satan, sin, and hell. But he also came to be very man and very God, so that his payment would have infinite value. God the Father took the burden of sin of all his people and laid it upon a real man, a righteous man, but one who is his son, one who's very God. And that sin bearer, that mediator, he took it. And as I pictured in that cup that was filled with wrath, he took it. That one who's real man, a righteous man, but also very God, and he drank that cup empty to the very last drop of the infinite wrath of God. And now that cup is empty of wrath, but it's overflowing with infinite mercy to hell-worthy sinners. Jesus Christ, who's very God, made an infinite payment. And so there is infinite, infinite payment. And God the Father could look upon that payment of a real man and very God, and he could say, satisfied. He could not say that ever. He could say in paradise upon that first man, it's very good. And he could not say that ever again until he looked upon his son who kept the law, who lived for him, but also his justice could say, satisfied, finally, because of that infinite payment of his dear son, who is very man, a righteous man, and very God. God, the Father, he who's infinite holy, and who can by no means clear the guilty, he can look upon unrighteous sinners who deserve hell, eternal wrath, and who have nothing to pay, but yet look, flee, trust in his own dear son. He can receive them. How? Through his son, and only through his son. And how does he receive them? Does he receive them as slaves, as servants? No. He receives them as sons. He adopts them as sons, as his beloved children, because of that mediator who's very man, a righteous man, and also very God. John 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, or you could say as many as believed in him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a precious mediator, congregation. Or is he not precious? Is he not necessary? Is he not suitable? Is he not exactly the one you need? That you need one to stand in your place. You need one that fulfilled the law for you, a transgressor. And you need one who's very God, that has the power to save a wretch. Why do people not see it? Because they're blind. We're spiritually blind. We need new life. Why do they not see it and teach it and believe it? That Jesus Christ is very God. Why? Well, because we're blind, but even more, we do not understand the infinite justice of God and the testimony of Himself in His words. We do not see what infinite wrath is against that evil sin, against the highest majesty in heaven. The mediator must be God to obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. That's the only way to obtain for and to restore both to us righteousness and life. And then I think of the Jehovah Witnesses. Do they come to your door? Do they? Do you just slam it? Or do you talk to them? Talk to them, please. Talk to them. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is very God. They're lost, congregation. They need to hear it, that Jesus Christ is very man. He's not only a prophet. And it's not all just about paradise and a new heaven on this earth. No, there's sin against the holy, just God. Tell them that. Tell them their sin. Tell them that you are sin or you don't believe it. Tell them. Tell them that Jesus Christ, open the Bible, show it to them through the Word. They need to hear that Jesus Christ is very God, because if He's not very God, there's no salvation. There's no hope. We're all lost. But He said on the cross, finished, finished. He, as a real man, a righteous man, and very God, fulfilled the work that His Father has laid upon Him. And He could say, finished. And God the Father looked upon it and He said, satisfied, satisfied. And His message is to sinners who have nothing, look at that same place that I have looked. Look at that cross. Look where I'm satisfied, because there is the only way of joy, of peace, of hope, of life, of being righteous, of being washed, of being cleansed, of everything that you need to escape that well-deserved wrath and to be received into my eternal favor. Can I ask you again? Are you a sinner? Do you have a need for a mediator? Or are you still looking? No, you don't say that to anybody else. Looking within. Looking here. Looking there in your life. Some way to move the heart of God to have favor upon you. I hope you see it's all sin. It's all insufficient. It's all filthy in the eyes of God. Then all becomes hopeless. You become lost. You become absolutely ungodly in yourself. And that at the same time, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, reveals, shows you, that mediator, who's a real man, and who's very God. He had to be God also. What else? To apply. He didn't only satisfy, finish the work, and they didn't only ascend into heaven, and now I say that very reverently, He sits there passively, hopefully. Hopefully sinners will see it. Hopefully they will call upon me. Hopefully they will need me as their Savior. And hopefully they will take it. No. He's not only a meriting Savior. He's also an applying Savior. And therefore there is salvation for complete lost sinners. He seeks and saves. He gives life so that they would seek life. Dead ones are made alive. Sinners who know it here become sinners here, and they begin to seek for Him, hunger for Him, thirst for Him, for that only mediator, and He reveals Himself through the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives life. He doesn't only wait. Because if he waited, he would be waiting eternally, and not one sinner would be saved. I may proclaim to you tonight a mediator who's very man, a righteous man, very God, but also he who worked still from above with the Spirit and the Word. But has he worked in you? Has he worked in you is the question. Do you need him? Do you need a mediator between a holy God and you, a lost sinner? Are you seeking for this mediator, the only mediator, no other? No, not your works, not your prayers, not your experiences, nothing. But the mediator, do you need him? But why else must he be very God? Because he is also to be worshipped. Yes, Jesus Christ was made very God, also to be worshipped. What's the first commandment? What's the second commandment? Who may we worship? Children? Who may we worship? We may only worship God. And God sent his Son into this world, not only as a man, but also as God. And God the Father desires, longs, is satisfied, glorified when he sees sinners worshiping, trusting, maybe with trembling hands and hearts, trusting. He is glorified when he sees knees bowing, hearts bowing before hungering, needing, and worshiping his Son. God the Father exalted him to the highest. And listen to what we read in Philippians 2, verse 9 and 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things of the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. Have you been guilty? Have you bowed? No, not just with your head, but have you bowed yet before him, before this mediator? Are you like that woman, Son of David, have mercy upon me, have mercy upon me? Are you crying out unto him? Do you need him? Do you long for him? Do you need him to rescue you, to save you, to wash you, to clothe you, to make you pure, to reconcile you with the holy God? Do you need him? Those who taste of it in this life have a little joy already. And they will enter in the future into the joy of the Lord. And what will they be doing? They will be eternally worshiping the Lamb of God, as we read in Revelation 5, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." They begin to worship and bow here on this earth already. But that's their delightful task eternally, to be forever worshiping the Lamb, and they will be singing, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And eternity will be too short to pour out that adoration and that praise to him, the precious mediator, who's very man, a righteous man, but also very God. They will cast their crowns at his feet. He is worthy to be worshipped, congregation. Are you? God sees your heart. God sees my heart. It's their worship for the mediator. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's sing from this psalm, Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4. Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4, standing. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor and beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. 76, stanzas 1 and 4. must that mediator be? We've heard three qualifications. Children, what are they? He must be a man, very man. A man. He had to have a body just like you had. A body that lived, that bled. He had to be a real man. But he had to be something, somebody so different than you and me. He had to be a righteous man, a perfect man, holy, pure, undefiled. But he also had to be something so different than you and me. Completely, infinitely different. He also had to be very God. And what's the last qualification? He had to be very man and very God in one person. The mediator had to be very God and very man in one person. The mediator must be one divine person. No, not two people. A divine person and a human person. No, we don't have two mediators. We have one mediator. One mediator. And Jesus Christ is that divine mediator. He's the one and only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Deliverer, that only advocate, that only substitute for hell-worthy sinners who have nothing. And he's that mediator, that one person with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. Yes, this is a mystery. It's a mystery. But what a blessing. I hope it is a blessing for your soul to hear about this mediator, exactly who he is, exactly who you need. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he met all these qualifications. Jesus Christ is real man. To be able to come to save men. Angels do not have a hope of salvation, fallen angels, because Jesus didn't come as an angel. He became as a man. He came to stand in the place of the substitute of a man. And Jesus Christ is that holy, pure Son of God, that righteous one. And he meets all the requirements of man. Yes, but first he meets all the requirements of his Father. Yes, it's about the Father. It's about the Father's justice being satisfied, because if his justice is not satisfied, it doesn't open the way back to him. His arms are closed, and they would forever be closed if there was not a mediator who was very man, a righteous man, and very God, all in one person. And that person, it's Jesus Christ, that beloved Son of God, who ever was his delight eternally, as we read in Proverbs 8. He was ever before his Father. His Father was delighted in him, and he was delighting in his Father. And his Father willingly sent him, and he willingly came. And his Father sent him to be that exact mediator, the exact one that those hell-worthy sinners that lay under the seal of election, and he desired to have around his throne eternally, to eternally praise him. It was only through him, that blessed mediator. He is exactly what a sinner needs. He's exactly that one that can stand in your place, congregation. No other one. No other mediator. No other one satisfied the justice of God. It's only in him. And oh, how Satan desires to destroy, and how he has tried to destroy the precious doctrine of Jesus Christ the mediator and who he is. Because he's a heartless lion. He would love it if all would plunge into hell. He doesn't want God to be glorified. He doesn't want Jesus Christ to be glorified. So he worked so hard to destroy the truth of who Jesus Christ is. But the king is on the throne. He's on the throne. The almighty king. And he has kept the truth of his precious word of who he is. And Satan whispers and says, is that really true? Is that really who he is? Is that really who you are? You tell that voice he's a liar. Open the word, bow your knees, and listen to God's word of what he tells you are, but also of what he proclaims, the record of God, of his own dear son, that exact mediator that you need, that he is, and he has met all those qualifications. What a precious mediator. Exactly the mediator that satisfied the justice of God. Exactly that one, and that only one, that can stand in the place of hell-worthy sinners. Sinners who have nothing. Do you need him? Do you ask how? As I said this morning, how to be connected to that Savior? It's by faith alone. Remember Abraham? He believed in the word of God. It doesn't say Abraham felt it. It doesn't say that Abraham saw it. He heard it and he believed it. He believed in the word of God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so he was righteous. And God the Father imputes the righteousness of his Son. He places it on those who believe in his Son. And he takes all their sin and he places it on his Son. That interchange, that blessed interchange of his free and sovereign grace. But do you need to be washed? Do you need to be washed by that blood? Do you need his blood? As we heard this morning, how is it? It's by faith. Listen to Romans 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Congregation, I pray that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, makes room in your heart for that only mediator. And there cannot be two mediators. There cannot be two kings. Only one. One king. One savior. One lord. One mediator. And that means we need to die to everything. And in losing life, there will be finding life. He must increase, but I must decrease. Painful for the flesh, but a blessing. A blessing for the soul. Because in him is life. In him is everything. May the Lord richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it would not only be hearing tonight, not only information in the head, but it may become food for the soul. But maybe you ask, is it really necessary to believe all those details of that precious Savior? Yes. And so I want to end tonight with reading some sentences from the Athanasian Creed. Listen, please. It is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also might believe rightly in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, who although he is God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of that manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but in unity of person. And then he ends. This is the Catholic faith, which except man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. Amen. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, without thee we can do nothing. We cannot proclaim thy word and we cannot listen. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. Lord, then be the after preacher. Apply thy word powerfully to the hearts of sinners. Oh, may there have been a little comfort, a little instruction for those poor, needy sinners. May they hear, and may it become a wonder. There is a mediator. Oh, may I know him, and may we have no rest until we may truly know him, and that we may say, I belong unto that faithful Savior, that we may know he knows of us, and that we are his sheep. Lord, keep, guide, and protect us in the coming weeks. Watch over us. Help myself and my wife as we travel to Bolivia. Give traveling mercies, but care also for the congregation. Help the elders, the deacons. Bless the reading services. And Lord, wilt thou keep us, that we may meet again, that we may be together as shepherd and flock in thy mercy. Lord, we pray and ask for thy name's sake. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 306, all four stanzas. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore. From this time forth forevermore. From this time forth forevermore. 306, all four stanzas. just a reminder to all those who are grade 11 and up, you're welcome to the sing-along. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.